Who is going to win the war between faith and science? 888-318-7884 is the number. But I say that somewhat facetiously. I'm Cy Kellett, your host, because... But the fact is, there are people who believe that there's some kind of war between faith and science, and that science has to win in order for humanity to make progress. If faith wins, we go back to I don't know what we go back to, with Stone Age or something. At least we go back to the Dark Ages, which, by the way, this is me saying this, not our fine guest, Dr. Stacey Jasenkos. There's no such thing as the Dark Ages. The Dark Ages is a made-up thing. Come on, let's be serious. But if you are of the view that there is a conflict between faith and science, we welcome your call this hour, 888-318-7884. If you would like some help understanding what Catholics believe about the relationship between faith and science, you can call the same number, 888-318-7884. However, we will charge you less. Because you're on our side. Dr. Stacey Jasenkos continues as our guest this hour. Dr. Jasenkos is the author of Particles of Faith and now a textbook, a science textbook. What's it called, the science textbook?
It's called Particles of Faith, the Student Edition.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. And she's, in addition to being a chemist, is also a theologian and a teacher and a speaker. And you were out here on the West Coast speaking this weekend.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
And then you go home, and in a week, you come join us in Australia for the big conference in Perth.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to Perth before?
I've never been to Australia at all.
They're having a kind of a kangaroo problem there. I just want you to know that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's a little trouble with the kangaroo. This is actually true. I'm not making this up. I've been following Australia news, and there's kind of a drought, and the kangaroos are coming and eating all the cattle feed. And so it's a little bit of a... So they will probably allow you to take one back with you.
A kangaroo.
Yeah, sure. Probably maybe a pair. You can get something started in Texas there on the ranch.
Yeah. Bring a kangaroo. I was more worried about the spiders.
I'm blocking that out. I'm not thinking about that. Jimmy Akin said to me one day that millions of people have survived Australia and that I should stop worrying about all the things that can kill me there. So I took that. Jimmy's pretty smart, so I accepted that. But I am not thinking about those spiders or any of that. 888-318-7884 is the number, 888-318-7884. When I say that Dr. Jasenkos is a scientist and theologian, profession, she was a science researcher at the DuPont chemical company, trying to figure out how photosynthesis works. And that's really
it
crazy.
It was Lycra.
Wait.
Lycra. Yeah. In graduate school, I worked on artificial photosynthesis.
Oh, so at DuPont, you worked on Lycra.
Lycra spandex.
Oh, thank you so much for that, by the way.
Yeah.
Did you make Lycra better?
There was a point in my life when I could walk into the department store in the shopping mall and I could look at the hang tags on all the women's clothing and I knew something about the chemistry and the lycra spandex underneath it.
Isn't that wild?
I was so proud.
But I mean, that's a real contribution to humanity.
I mean,
that's an unsung contribution. You made lycra better, you know? So just think of all the hair bands whose lives are better now.
Pantyhose. Stretchy jeans.
Oh, yeah, the stretchy jeans are funny. Yeah. Now people look like they've had their jeans painted on them. Right. You did that? You're responsible for that?
I worked on a product that went into cotton. Yeah.
Yeah, thanks for that. Thanks a lot. Real contribution to culture. 888-318-7884 is the number. James in Florida is up first. James is listening on Catholic.com. Give me a quick second here to catch up to my words here, James. Go ahead, James. Your question for Dr. Jasenkos.
Hi, if that lady that has the seven kids that called in earlier is still listening, she should definitely get her Christianity Was Born of Science by Dr. Stacey.
Uh-huh.
Excellent. One of my favorite books of all time.
Oh,
and ironically, I just sent it to a pen pal I have in prison today. So
thank you.
It'll be in a prison library.
Wait, did you just say
amazing
did
book.
You just say Christianity Was Born of Science? Did I hear that, or did he say science?
Excuse me.
Science. Yeah.
Science
I know what he meant.
Born of Christianity.
Yeah, no, we got
an amazing book.
Okay, good.
And my question is this. To me, it appears obvious, especially after reading the book, that the way you put it, I think it was you that put it this way, the cultural psychology that came about in the West as a result of Christianity is obviously a blessing from God. And that's why you see 99% of inventions and innovations and in things of law and all these sorts of things, but we're talking about science, coming from the West. And then you see out of Buddhism, things stopped after the bottle rocket in the 14th century, or in Islam after they came up with the zero. So my question is, how come you don't win these debates in 5 minutes? And maybe you can present the other side of maybe something I'm missing or that we're all missing. I mean, it just seems, you know, axiomatic that Christianity produces a better cultural psychology in all ways. But, and so, you know, how come we seem to be losing that?
Yeah, because people don't like chastity. That will be my contribution to this conversation. I mean, the Catholic Church teaches that we must live chaste lives, and people will fight against that to the nail. But how do you make the argument, as he's asking?
Yeah, well, just as it relates to science, like I tried to think of the one-liner that summed up everything I was trying to say, and I, in my talks, I talk about how my son JJ, who was 4 at the time, came up with it when he was talking about atoms. He's obsessed with atoms just like his mother, and he prayed the little prayer, "Bless us, O Lord, and these thy atoms." But what I took from that is the one-liner is this: science is the study of the handiwork of God. And if you've got 5 minutes with someone, that's what you need to say. Like, you don't even have to read my book. Just know that. You can say science is the study of the handiwork of God. And what that means is, to an atheist is sort of chaining his or her intellect. He's sort of putting the blinders on and refusing to look at the fuller truth and just studying the science. But the way we look at it, so an atheist doesn't have any explanation for why the world is ordered. An atheist doesn't have any explanation for why we're more than atoms and molecules, or where we're going with all of this. What's the meaning of life? What's the purpose? We have the bigger picture. We understand that God created an ordered world, but we also understand that we're body and soul, that we're surrounded by angels, that God is real, that Christ rose, all the revealed truths and the reasoned truths from our faith. We have the fullness of the truth. And so I don't like to debate very much. It's like, here, have a plate of cookies and let's talk. I don't like to debate very much. I just speak the truth. And I find, you know, I've talked to some atheists and some agnostics who could probably, you know, eat my lunch when it comes to the intellectual side of the scientific stuff, very highly accomplished scientists. But they've said, I don't believe in God because I don't have any empirical evidence. And I say back what I just said: I believe in God because I granted assent with my will and my intellect. I granted assent to the truths of faith. I believe what God revealed to us because God wouldn't have lied. And then I reason forth from there, and my life makes sense. Science makes perfect sense to me. I understand why we have an ordered, rational world. I understand why I have the intellect to study science. I understand why I also have to practice virtue and make moral choices. I mean, when I lived as an atheist person in love with science only, and I thought science had all the answers, that's what wrecked my life in those 13 years. I had no respect for morality at all. I knew in my heart things what I was doing was wrong, but in my reasoning, I'm like, nothing can be wrong if I'm just atoms and molecules. So I just speak the worldview to people instead of debating.
James, we got to leave it there because there's a whole bunch of folks who want to talk about faith and science with Dr. Stacy Trusenkos. Thank you very, very much for the call. The number here, by the way, one line open, 888-318-7884. Up next, from Perth, Australia. Oh, it's Michael from Perth, Australia. Michael, since we have you on the line from Perth, Australia, I got to tell you, Dr. Stacy Trusenkos is going to be in your city October 17th through 19th at the YB Catholic Conference, the greatest Catholic conference you will ever attend. Tim Staples is going to be there. Carla Broussard is going to be there. Dr. Stacy Trusenkos. So have you heard of this conference at all, Michael?
I have now. It's Michael Chong, so I'd love to.
This is actually the Michael who's organized the entire conference. Yeah. So I'm glad you've heard
Michael.
Of it, Michael.
Hi, Stacy. How are you?
I'm glad they let you through.
I just found out this morning too, so I better get preparing.
Oh yeah. Well, she's pretty good, huh? Are you glad she's coming to Australia to share the faith?
Look, I think that she's opening. Dr. Stacey is opening the conference with Particles of Faith, and we're thrilled. So, are you packed yet, though?
I'm trying to figure out how to fit my black cowboy hat into my suitcase.
Just wear it on the plane.
We've got a version of that down here, so don't worry. We've got you sorted.
Okay, I need a black cowboy hat.
She needs to get one of those black Crocodile Dundee hats. Yeah. Michael.
That's right.
When we talked about Australia and the faith in Perth and all that, this idea of the faith not being compatible with reason is actually quite common there.
I think it's a universal problem. I mean, I think that that Pew research that came out,
yeah,
that only a third of Catholics actually believe in the real presence and what it actually truly means. We don't have a similar research down here, but it wouldn't surprise me that can be translated to Australians. I think that at the end of the day. One of the questions that would be really relevant for Dr. Stacey would be, modernism and scientism, how everything needs to be empirical nowadays. As she was just saying, that everything needs to be empirical, everything needs to be measured if I can't see it, and where she came from was an ascent of the will, but we're seeing it in the reverse, where folks are saying, this means nothing to me.
Do you want to address that?
Yeah, that's the reason I talk about this, okay? That's why I talk about the whole faith and science thing, because it has repercussions for individuals. It's keeping people away from Christ. So it was always about evangelization for me. I lived that, to say it again, and someday I'm going to write more about my experiences those years when I worked as a scientist and I wasn't faithful. But you can justify doing anything when you don't think anything like morality exists. Nothing matters. And mm-hmm. I know firsthand what it feels like to live that way because whenever I followed the logical pathway, I could see the dead end of my worldview. But B, I was too scared to face it, because if I actually let myself go there, I didn't know if I was going to be able to turn around and do the right thing. It was much easier just to keep doing what I was doing, until I'm sure God had a lot to do with it and my parents who were praying for me. But until I literally hit a dead end. And I remember hitting that dead end. And by dead end, I mean I had wrecked all my relationships. I pretty much did what I wanted to do, and I dared anybody to tell me I couldn't. And sometimes if people told me I couldn't, I did it anyway.
Did you ever read The Brothers Karamazov?
Yeah, I've read that.
Yeah, you sound like a character in The Brothers Karamazov. Science is everything. I can do whatever I want.
Yeah, I walked like 80 miles while reading that book on Audible.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, but I've read that book and I related to it a lot. And when I see the scientific community promoting this idea in culture that people are just atoms and molecules, let me quote something real quick. So it goes back to the Nobel laureate Francis Crick. So he was the molecular biologist who co-discovered the helical structure of DNA.
Mm-hmm.
So this genetic stuff comes from him. In his late in life book, The Astonishing Hypothesis, he begins it by saying this: the astonishing hypothesis is that you, your joys and your sorrows, your memories and your ambitions, your sense of personal identity and free will are in fact no more than the behavior of a vast assembly of nerve cells and their associated molecules. And so he's got cred out there with, young atheists. And
sure. He discovered one of the great discoveries in the history of the world.
And so we're seeing what's happened. He wrote that in 1995. Look at where we are now. We're talking about people in terms of just genetics. And I think even geneticists would say, no, they're more complex than that. Okay, Catholics have the answer. They're body and soul. And so somehow, like, we've got to do more than just going on the defense when articles like this come out. We've got to, I say, elbow our way in, but I do think we've got to get more aggressive. We've got to go on the offense.
Right.
And get ourselves at the tables where those decisions are made and just learn how to make the case. Like, I know I get this as being a mother. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm going to tell you how it is.
Are you sure you still want her to come there, Michael?
I think that's a Texan in her as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
Bring it.
Bring it.
No, I do agree. I think that, at the end of the day, there's a reductionist tendency. Even in metaphysics, I think that, there are folks who are saying, look, we can't really explain why, the sum is greater than the parts, but I'm sure someday science will.
Yeah, right? That's right. That's right. That's what you might call the science of the gaps.
Mm-hmm.
Michael, I got to take a break, but I want you to give the website. We're going to be with Michael Chong. He's the organizer of the YB Catholic Conference in Perth, Australia. It's October 17th through 19th. Stacey's going to be giving three talks there. She's going to give a talk on particles of faith. She's going to give a talk on St. Thomas for women. She's going to give another talk on science, miracles, and the Eucharist. And that's just Stacey. That's not Tim's going to be giving talks. Carlo's going to be giving talks. We're going to be doing the radio show. Where can people go to find out more about this, Michael?
That would be evangelizationaustralia.com. That's evangelization with an S, evangelizationaustralia.com. Don't forget, Si, you're doing a talk as well. You're opening Saturday morning for us.
I didn't want to drive people away, Michael. But okay, yeah, that is. I am looking forward to it. I'm really looking forward to it. I'm going to do a talk on Catholic faith versus modern confusion.
Yes. We're also really looking forward to Friday with the live recording, because, what folks need to know is that it's like 30 mini talks in 2 hours, because you're getting it fast and quick,
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. We have to take a break, however. Michael Chong, thank you very much. Evangelization Australia, that's evangelization with an S. And find out. Come see us. We'll be there in a couple weeks in Perth, Australia.
There's only one. Catholic Answers Live. Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
The EWTN home video highlight for October is the EWTN Family Celebration from Denver, Colorado. John Ed Williams, Father Mitch Pacwa, Dr. David Anders, Father Innocent, Father Augustino, and Father Angelus show us how faith can move mountains. Order your DVD at EWTNRC.com 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, or call 1-800-854-6316.
Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host, with one of our absolute favorite guests, Dr. Stacey Trisankos. And if you have questions about faith and science, you want to challenge us a little bit on the Catholic understanding of the relationship between faith and science, maybe you're one of those people who says, hey, look, I'm going 100% with the Bible, and I don't want to hear any thing about evolution or any of that science stuff. Or maybe you're someone else who says, I'm going 100% with evolution. I don't want to hear anything about that Bible. Or maybe you take a more what we would call a Catholic position. That is, that we have been made to be reasonable and responsible. God has given us the ability to recognize his voice, but he's also given us the ability to investigate the world on our own. And it's all good because God made it all good. 888-318-7884 is the number. Bill in Virginia, listening on Sirius XM satellite radio channel 130. That's EWTN on channel 130. You are up next, Bill. Your question for Dr. Stacey Trisankos.
Yes, thank you very much. I was very glad to hear in the last call that the good doctor indicated she would she believes in elbowing in mm-hmm. to this this debate, and that we need to take it back because it seems to me, and I follow these things fairly carefully, that there's a lot of politicization going on now in science. Yep. And not for the good. And I won't even go into global warming, but related to your previous topic on homosexuality, reparative therapy is now being outlawed mm-hmm. in various states, and the American Psychological Association has indicated that it is fraudulent, to engage in reparative therapy, and therefore people that may be strong Christians that wish to address same-sex attraction and see it as a disorder that they would like to overcome are now being told they must that they are forced to be homosexuality or live with their same-sex attractions. And I wanted to hear what the doctor has to say about the politicization of science. And she can, you know, also, if you want to get into global warming, that too, but specifically about, gender dysphoria and how that's being politicized, and also reparative therapy.
All right. Let's let Dr. Trisangos take a shot at it.
Yeah, I share your concern. I mean, very deep concerns at a very fundamental level, because it's misleading people to understand who they are. And I just want to reiterate what he's saying by quoting the New York Times article. That's exactly how the author started out. I mean, the title of the article is "Many Genes Influence Same-Sex Sexuality, Not a Single Gay Gene." But in the third or fourth paragraph, the author says that the community, the scientific community and the LGBT plus community, they have a fear that this evidence that genes play a partial role could embolden people who insist that being gay is a choice and who advocate tactics like conversion therapy. So they're actually opposed to this kind of research because they think that we're going to say, we need to push more conversion therapy. And that, you know, to a young person who says, hey, I'm coming out of the closet, it's most heartbreaking in the transgender thing. A young person says to a doctor, I'm supposed to be a boy, not a girl. And they start mutilating the child and giving the child hormones to interrupt natural, healthy processes, all things that can't be undone later in life. And, you know, having seven children, I know that a kid at 13 doesn't really know who he or she is yet. And, I have a lot of concerns about that, just as you do. And I think we have to, the only way we're going to get around it is to start having a seat at these. When I say the ethical committees, I mean, like, even in your own town. I remember when I studied theology to get a master's degree, I had it in my head that someday maybe I would sit on the board at the local hospital and be part of the voice of the decision makers. In my job with Bishop Strickland in Tyler, Texas, in the Diocese of Tyler, we do work very closely. The St. Philip Institute works very closely with the Catholic Hospital there, because the Catholic Hospital there wants to follow Catholic teaching. It takes time, but if you know what you're trying to do, you can find ways to influence that. But yes, I share your concern about it. And yes, you're right. I want to highlight something else that you said. The American Psychiatric Association has issued a position statement on homosexuality. And it says that same-sex attraction is not a disorder that requires treatment. So they make it clear we are not allowed to call it a disorder. And that is very concerning, because I know that assumes that everybody who feels a same-sex attraction, maybe there's some biological reason why you genuinely do struggle with same-sex attraction. That doesn't mean everybody wants to feel that way who feels that way. There are people who do want help. And I get back to the most fundamental thing is love. People are trying to find love. They're trying to find out where they belong in the world. They're trying to find out who they belong to. And not helping them in this way, you know, not calling it a disorder and saying, oh, that's just perfectly natural, you're helping that person go down the wrong path.
Bill, thanks very, very much. I wonder if the scientists, if it ever occurs to scientists that if they do this politicizing of science, that there's actually kids who won't become scientists and mm-hmm. people who won't listen when because, you know, like maybe the scientists are saying something important about, I don't know, the spread of disease or something. And we need to, you know, have this public policy, not that public policy. People won't believe them if they believe that science is politicized.
Yeah, they don't have a reason to do science. I mean, there are scientists who have said, who are atheists, they've said they do science so they can make money and be famous. And that's not a good reason, ultimately, because that's a very empty life. As Catholics, I tell my students, you want to do science because if you discover something new, you have discovered God in a way that nobody else ever has before.
Right back with more on Faith and Science with Dr. Stacy Drisenkos right after this.
Catholic Answers is a media ministry that serves Christ by explaining and defending the Catholic faith. We help Catholics grow in their faith, we bring former Catholics home, and we lead non-Catholics into the fullness of the truth. Our goal is to be the most trusted and accessible source for sharing, explaining, and defending the Catholic faith through as many media as possible, from personal contact to the most innovative means of mass communication. Have questions? We've got answers. Catholic Answers. Visit us today at Catholic.com or call us with your questions at 619-387-7200.
Hello, this is Archbishop Alexander Sample of the Archdiocese of Portland in Oregon. Keep that dial right here on Catholic Answers Live.
Many Catholics ignore the Bible. They say they have the Church instead. But we should embrace sacred Scripture, not just as the revealed Word of God, but as a Catholic work, intimately connected with the Church from the earliest centuries. In The Bible is a Catholic Book, apologist Jimmy Akin shows how the Bible cannot exist apart from the Church. In The Bible is a Catholic Book, apologist Jimmy Akin shows how the Bible cannot exist apart from the Church, in its origins, in the truths it contains, in its careful preservation over the centuries. Scripture is inseparable from the Catholic faith. This is fitting, since both come from God for our salvation. If you're a Catholic who sometimes gets intimidated by the Bible is a Catholic Book will help you better understand and take pride in this gift that God gave the world through the Church. After all, Catholics are the original Bible Christians. Order your copy of The Bible is a Catholic Book today by calling 1-844-239-4952, visiting shop.catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Catholic Answers Live, Dr. Stacy Drisenkos, our guest. Dr. Drisenkos, the author of Particles of Faith, a book about science and faith, and that's what we are discussing today, faith and science. If you have a question in that regard, or if you want to make polemical statement in that regard, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Up next is Josh in Columbia, Maryland. Josh is watching on YouTube Live. Thanks for joining us, Josh. Your comment or question for Dr. Drisenkos.
My question is, exactly how much of evolution is a Catholic allowed to agree with? Like, how much of it could a Catholic agree with someone like Richard Dawkins?
On the science of evolution, do you mean?
Yes, it's science of evolution. Like, obviously, I know a Catholic cannot be an atheist, obviously, but yeah. I'm like, what can he be allowed to agree with?
Quite a bit, actually. I mean, I would love to have Richard Dawkins come on Catholic Answers and sit down with us and just talk, because I think it would be interesting. A lot of evolution we can, I mean, that's what I say in the book Particles of Faith. Evolution is the longest chapter because first I cover the theology part. We can't deny that God exists. We can't deny that God created everything out of nothing. We can't deny that God created the first man and created all of us. And we can't deny that we're body and soul. But once we're confident about, I mean, once we're, you know, we're not going to deny that stuff, we can then roll up our sleeves and go figure out what all these fossils that we find mean and what all this stuff about genetics means. And it's perfectly fine to explore evolution, and the church does do this. I mean, the Pontifical Academy of Sciences invites people who are not even Catholic to come and talk about the issues. We're free to study the evolutionary science and to learn about it, to work in that field, to follow that field, to read about it, to teach our children about it, provided that we understand all it's ever really going to tell us about is the body. There are interesting discoveries that seem to show indications of intelligence. So they're able to try to figure out at what point in time the human species crossed that line into intelligence, and they tie it to language. But to have language, you have to have a thought. There has to be a thought in the mind before you can speak the word and start communicating.
Which would mean a rational soul.
A rational soul. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's so misunderstood for people that are maybe afraid that if you accept evolution, you're going to have to deny your faith. That's completely the wrong message to tell our children. I mean, in the St. Baltimore Catechism, on page one of the little book for First Communion, it says God made everything. God made the trees. God made the birds. God made the fish. Okay, that's the diversity of life. When we study science, we're studying the handiwork of God. We're just looking out at the world and trying to figure out how this diversity came to be at the biological level and even deeper at the chemical and physical level. And there's nothing wrong with studying that as long as it's part of the bigger picture.
It struck me as you asked the question, Josh, that you seem to think that the science of evolution, or at least seem to be suggesting, and I would like to get your take on this, that the science of evolution is of its nature atheistic.
No, I actually don't actually believe that at all.
Okay.
Many young earth creationists say stuff like that.
Yeah.
I'm definitely not one. I'm wondering what is like the minimum that Catholic has to believe. Like, from what I understand, a Catholic is required to believe that Adam and Eve were historical beings, yeah, and that an original sin. I'm assuming they had to at least believe in that, correct?
Well, if I could just add one thing to the list, that the human soul is not a product of evolution, but each human soul is created in an act of love directly by God for the person. So while our bodies are a consequence of a biological act, our souls are not. They are directly created by God.
Yep. Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
I'd like to just suggest something to you, Josh. You might be interested in this. Carlo Broussard, who's a philosopher, takes this from the philosophical side, asks the question, does evolution eliminate God? And he gets into not everything that Stacey said, but into a certain part of it about people who will say, well, if you believe in evolution, you can't believe in God. He did it in three parts with us for Catholic Answers Focus. It started airing in mid-July of last year and ended on August 1st, the three parts. So if you just go to Catholic Answers Focus and look that up, I think that you will enjoy those conversations with Carlo, because he's a very good philosopher, and he explains what you very much what you were asking about. Well, if I accept this, doesn't that mean that God doesn't exist? And he explains why that's actually not the case. He comes down on the side that evolution doesn't eliminate God. Josh, thanks very, very much. Again, Dr. Stacey Trisenkos is our guest. Jose Maria in California, listening on the Catholic Answers Live, is next. Your question, please, for Dr. Stacey Trisenkos.
Thank you, Cy, and thank you, Doctor, for taking my call. My question is, how do you explain to 7th and 8th graders that the church is not against science?
That's a great question. That's like the work that's why I started doing this. I wanted to be able to explain it to kids. So first of all, something I've noticed in traveling around, you know, the country and talking to a lot of audiences that are high school and junior high kids, a lot of the kids in Catholic school don't realize people think there's a conflict, which is awesome. they don't yet even realize, because they're going to Catholic school and they're taking science classes, that they just think that's part of the things they have to learn about. They get it from when they were a child and somebody told them God created everything. They're like, okay, God created the trees and everything that we study in science. And so I think it really comes about when they get to college, because there are college professors who will tell students in their biology classes that, I have bad news for you, evolution is shrinking the need for faith, shrinking the space for faith. And so what you want to do at a high school and junior high level is prepare them for that. First of all, completely make them confident, that inoculate them with that line: science is the study of the handiwork of God. And so it does that, just free that, that right there cuts it loose. There could never be a conflict when you're studying the handiwork of God. Anything you learn about the handiwork of God is just going to help you know and love God better. What they have to realize, though, then in humility, is that we as humans observe nature, but we haven't observed everything. And we're always learning new things, discovering new things. And that when we take those discoveries, those scientific laws, our theories just try to explain what we observe. And so our theories are also never going to be complete. They're far from complete now. So just help the kid understand that. Keep repeating that. Science is the study of the handiwork of God. And then help them learn how to responsibly dive into the harder questions. They're firm in that statement I just said, but then they're free to navigate into these murky waters, and they will know when they read a paper like we're talking about today with the gay gene stuff, they'll know how to sort out, oh, they're reducing the human person to just a body. No, that's not right. And they'll hopefully take more of an attitude where they will become leaders in the next generation. They will find their way at the table where those committees are making decisions. Help them be confident. Confidence.
Jose Maria, I'm curious, how did that strike you?
Really well. So that's what I'm going to do. It's a group of confirmation kids. We were talking about Genesis, creation, and the fall, and that question came up. There was a kid that made the statement that the church is actually against science and that Genesis doesn't make sense and stuff like that.
You might want to just see if you can get a copy, if it's in the budget, of Dr. Trusenko's latest book, Particles of Faith,
Student Edition.
Because there might be some stuff in there that, just if you read through it, it will help you in answering the questions.
Yeah. One thing I tell kids about Adam and Eve, just to nip that in the bud, because kids want answers. You can't just say, well, it's a mystery and we're not really sure. They want answers about Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve could totally have been, so if it's possible, we can't deny it, they totally could have been created by a miraculous act of God. Evolutionary theory will never find any first two individuals beginning a new species, because that's not how we understand evolution to occur. So no theory ever would say, aha, there were two first people that started the human race. Evolution's not going to do that, because evolution isn't trying to do that. But at the same time, we can say, well, there definitely could have been a miracle. Not saying there absolutely was, but if there could have been, then you can't rule it out.
Jose Maria, thank you very, very much for the call. We have to take a quick break. Dr. Stacy Trusenko's is our guest. We're talking about faith and science. You're welcome to call 888-31-TRUTH. We'll be right back. We're not going to be right back. We're going to go to another call real quick. Again, our guest is Dr. Stacy Trusenko's. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Let's go to Peggy in Saratoga, California, listening on Channel 130, Sirius XM Satellite Radio, EWTN on Sirius Satellite Radio. Peggy in Saratoga, your question for Dr. Trusenko's.
Well, my question, I heard Dr. Stacy on a program earlier talking about vaccines, some of them using aborted fetal tissue.
Wait, hang on. You were on a different show? Besides this one?
Of this one. Another episode, right?
Oh, I thought she was doing... okay, all right.
Of course. My mistake.
I was hurt for a sec.
Anyway, I have a male friend, he's actually older than I am, who said he's known since he was a little boy that there was a little girl inside of him, and he chose to transition. So I'm wondering if there's any connection between the female DNA or the male DNA of the aborted fetal tissue used for vaccines being used in an opposite sex child, if that could be giving them two types of DNA that then leads them to think they belong in the opposite sex. And nobody can answer that for me.
Yeah, and I have not seen any studies that indicate such a thing. I'm not even quite sure how they would study it, because just backing up to the vaccines, like the vaccines are grown in cell lines that were taken from, the cell lines themselves are grown from the original cells that came from an aborted fetus. So they're not, so that those cell lines have been around for a long time. And yeah, when the vaccines are grown in those cell lines, then the DNA from that can, in small amounts, make it into the child. So first they would have to figure out how much makes it into or recombines with the child's own DNA, and what, if any, consequences there are. And I know some people have asked for that to be studied, but it tends not to get funding for research because it sounds like you're anti-vaccine then, and so they don't want to fund it. But the first thing you would have to know is how, to what extent does contaminant DNA make it into the child and recombine with the child's DNA. And then once you know that, you can start looking at any possible effects of that. But I don't think we're close enough to that. And the big hurdle right there is getting people to do and to fund those kinds of studies.
And we will leave it there because it is now time for that break. Thank you very much. We'll be right back with more Dr. Stacy Trusenkos right after this.
Got questions? Visit us today at Catholic.com.
We have a big problem. Our culture is dying, and souls are in danger of being lost. The answer is conversion to Jesus Christ in His church. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a Catholic organization, and we have hundreds of teams spreading the good news throughout the country. But we need your help. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Forever they will be venerated and distinguished for heroic virtue. Join the Holy Father as these witnesses to the Christian faithful are raised to the altars, including John Henry Cardinal Newman, live from St. Peter's Square. Holy Mass with canonizations, including John Henry Cardinal Newman, Sunday, October 13th at 3:30 a.m. Eastern, here on EWTN.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host, with Dr. Stacy Trusenkos. A very nice Monday because she's here in the studio with us, having given some talks this weekend in California. She left her where she almost never leaves, Texas. I think you have the attitude, why leave Texas?
Why leave Texas? Texas is great.
All right. But didn't
people talk right there?
Yeah. Well, yeah, we talk weird here in California. Have you noticed that? But it's not consistent. Like, it's different in different parts. But yeah, we're funny talkers. Monty in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Did you want to elaborate on that at all, or just shall we move on now?
Just speak it straight.
Monty in Tulsa, Oklahoma, where they also talk right. You are up next with Dr. Stacy Trusenkos. Monty, your question, please.
That's right. We do talk right.
Amen.
And I just moved here from Texas myself. I love Texas.
I love Texas, too.
Hey, I've got a question for you. There's a quote I've heard many times offered by atheists, and it goes something like this. I think it's attributed to Dr. Neil deGrasse Tyson. And he says, God is an ever-shrinking pocket of scientific ignorance. And I think what he means by that is that the more that we learn materially about the things that we don't know, the less room there is for this kind of God of the gaps. God of the gaps kind of thing.
Yeah.
But if I'm not mistaken, if the universe is expanding, it seems like the rate of things that we don't know is growing much faster than the rate of things that we do know. So his would seem like his premise is flawed. Can you straighten me out on that?
Yeah, I'd like to bring him into this studio too and sit him down and have a talk with him, because He's just so, I mean, what he's doing there is exposing his own ignorance. And, you know, Neil, seriously, like, if you're going...
That's Dr. Tyson to
Dr.
you.
Dr. Tyson, yes. Dr. Tyson.
We will be respectful here.
Yes, Dr. Tyson, yeah. Respectfully, totally respectfully. But, you know, we talk like
that. You don't
like
know what that. You're talking about.
We
respectfully, like, you don't know what you're talking about.
We're direct in Texas. We speak it plain.
Fair enough, all right.
So, Dr. Tyson, you don't understand what you're talking about because he is exposing his own ignorance there. I mean, it's whenever atheists criticize what Catholics believe, I say to them, you know, that's kind of like the person who's standing out in the hallway of the laboratory yelling at me through the door, telling me about my science, and they've never stepped into the lab and tried to do it. You know, like if you're going to stand out in the hallway of the lab and yell at the scientists who are actually doing the work, like you know more than them, you shouldn't do that. What you should do to all the atheists out there is before you criticize it, walk into the lab and try living the life of faith. And you know, once you start doing the experiments, then the knowledge comes. Then you start to understand. That's exactly how it happened for me. I had the guts to say, I grant assent to the truths of faith, and I'm not going to talk out of both sides of my mouth. I'm going to speak it plain. I'm going to live according to the convictions I've made. And maybe I don't understand why I have to go to Mass every Sunday, but I'm going to do it anyway. And that understanding came with time, but it was because I was willing to try it out.
But if I may, if what Dr. Tyson was saying, because we have the quote here, but out of context, was that the God of the gaps argument is a lame argument.
Yeah.
He's right.
It's always been a lame argument.
Like, it is a lame argument.
Yeah, because when I say science is the study of the handiwork of God, I'm not coming up with anything new. That is precisely why science was born in a Christian culture in the Middle Ages. It's because Catholic scholars said, oh, God created the world. I wonder how. And when they discovered that you could apply mathematics to the motion of objects in nature, they were delighted, but they weren't that surprised because we expected to find the order.
And frankly, Dr. Tyson should know that because he's an astronomer, and astronomy is entirely a Catholic science. I mean, there's no way you have modern astronomy without the Jesuits and the many other Catholic priest scientists who did it. He should know better than that. But if the thing is, though, we do want to give him his due. If he's saying your God of the gaps argument is dumb, he's right. God of the gaps is an argument that essentially goes, there's something we don't understand in science, therefore God did it. That is a non sequitur. It makes no sense. And he's right to say that won't work. But if he's saying all we have is a God of the gaps argument, he is very wrong about that.
That's not why
we believe in God, because we can't explain stuff.
Right. And we've never just shoved things into, oh, well, God did it. That was never the way. You know, that's what Father Yaki showed in his work, and that's what I show in that book. There, you read the quotes from the people themselves. They weren't saying that at all. They were saying, oh, how did God do this? And so, you know, with people like that, like I know I'm talking rough. I know it's...
You're talking Texas now.
I'm serious, though. Like, I would say that to his face. Like, come on, let's talk about this. Because it makes sense to me, and I like for things to make sense. And having had that worldview where it's just science, I know it's a very truncated, thin slice of reality, and that's all you're willing to let yourself look at.
Right.
And I know what it looks like when you look at the fuller picture. And I would just challenge him and anybody else to at least consider that, to at least talk about it and understand that's not what we think. We don't think God just explains the stuff that science can't explain. It's never been like that.
No, indeed. Mondi, was that answer satisfying to you?
Well, right there at the end, it really was. You know, it seems to me that he's got a premise built in there that there is a finite amount of things that can be known.
Right.
And I guess if it's true that once we know everything, then there won't be this unknown, which we call God, or Aquinas would call God. But I don't know that it's true that there's a finite amount of things. I think our Catholic faith tells us there's an infinite amount of things that there are things that will remain unknown to us.
Well, I'm not sure about the infinite amount of things, but there are there to know the truth, it requires an infinite knowledge, because God is infinite and God is not a thing. That's the only reason I quibble with you. I don't know if there are an infinite number of things to know, but there is an infinite amount to know, because to know the person God is to know the infinite. You would never exhaust your knowledge of God. Monty, I'm going to leave it there because I'm getting tired of talking to Texans. Let's go to David. Well, that's not really why. Let's go to David in Kansas, listening on 93.7 FM. David, your question for Dr. Stacy Trusenkos.
Hi, Dr. Stacy. Thanks for taking my call. My question is, it seems like that when we talk about evolution, the premise has always been on animals and stuff like that. And what I never understood is why there's never anything about plants or anything like that, of how plants will change because they don't have the same status kind of as the animals do.
Oh, yeah. And so a student just opening a biology textbook and studying about evolution very much learns about plants. I mean, that's one of the beginning parts to teaching about evolution. Gregor Mendel, the what was he? He wasn't a priest, was he?
He was an Augustinian monk. I think he was a priest. I'm not sure, but I think he wasn't. Well, we're not sure.
He was Catholic.
He was a monk, and he lived in a monastery.
And what he did when he lived in the monastery was he was doing experiments with plants, and he was crossbreeding the plants and noticing. And he was the one that put together that the genetic information that Darwin and that Francis Crick later were thinking about, not Francis Crick, but he was the first person to put together the link between genotype and phenotype. He said that whatever's happening at the molecular level is expressing itself in these different phenotypes. So he was working on plants. And then when you get into like the fossil evidence, the evidence in the fossil record, there's lots of information about plants, early life forms like single cell bacteria and cyanobacteria have been found in rocks that were 3 billion years old. So that's included in all of the story. Plants reproduce too.
I'm going to try to get another question in if we can. So thank you very much, David. Up next, we go to Carol in Littleton, Colorado, listening on 1060 AM. Carol, your question for – well, you know what? I'm having a little problem here. Carol, go ahead. Your question for Dr. Stacy Trusenkos.
Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
My question is this. Hello?
Hi, yep. Go ahead.
Okay. My question is this. If we know that God created us as he did, and we know that the Lord looks at homosexuality as a abomination, and we know, I can speak for myself, I know a lot of women who've been raped, either by father or someone else, and they go in there. That's what I did when I was raped. I went into the gay community to find friends because I was so afraid of men. And when I exited that lifestyle, I wasn't sexual, I was celibate. I got a lot of harassment for that. It felt like a ton of bricks off of me, and I knew, my aunt kept telling me, oh, this is normal, you're born this way. I knew in my heart that I was not born that way. So it's a choice.
Okay, Carol, did you want to have a conversation about that, or do you want to ask her a question? Because we got about a minute and a half left.
Yeah.
Okay, the question?
If we know Satan, for instance, is full of lies, why are we listening to the world?
Okay.
Yeah. And what we're saying is that knowing if somebody's genetically predispositioned to something gives you tools to work with. But you're absolutely right. Even if they do find a complex genetic architecture that contributes to homosexuality, it doesn't change the fact that Catholics are still going to teach and follow and practice virtue and help other people do the same. So you're right there. Even if they do find it, it's not going to change Catholic teaching.
No, indeed. Carol, thanks very, very much. I appreciate that. I'm sorry that we're right up to the top of the hour. Dr. Stacy Trusenkos has been our guest. If you're in Australia, if you're on the west of Australia and you can get to the big evangelization Australia YB Catholic Conference, the next weekend, the weekend after next, you'll get to hear her do three different talks, and she'll hang out with you. And Stacy's really, really nice. What's your hat size, by the way?
I don't know.
You don't know your hat size?
No.
Oh, because someone in Australia just asked, and I think maybe they wanted to get you a hat. But it's big, though. You have a very, you have a giant head.
I have a giant head.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm only joking. You have a giant brain, but you don't have a Dr. Stacey
Trusenko. It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
It's
going
to be fun.
All of a sudden, she's regretting going to Australia with us. Thanks. Really appreciate 2 hours with you.
It was great.
It seems like the ultimate take is that you believe that God loves in each and every person, and we need to know that we're loved and known.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, praise God for that. We'll see you in Australia, and we'll see you. I won't be here tomorrow. I don't know who's going to be here. Who's going to be here? I'm going to be on an airplane flying the other side. Jerry, oh man, I'm going to lose my job. I'm going to go away and Jerry's going to come in here. All right, we'll see y'all in Australia very shortly.